Our next speaker has been motivating kids to code for more than 12 years. She has written multiple books and participated in the world record for kids programming with more than 11,000 children from all over the Netherlands. Please welcome Paulina Maas.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm honored to speak here in a rainy evening here in Holland. I hope I can warm you a little bit with my talk. If you have any questions, please interrupt me because I'm happy to answer and help you with any questions you have. Yeah. My name is Pauline Maas. I'm originally a teacher, but when I finished my university, there was no work for me. So I started off in the computers, and the computers looked like that when I started. So that's really a long time ago. I did that for a very long time, but then I thought, if I want to have some female colleagues, I have to start in education because there are no education about computers and coding and making websites and apps in schools. So I did that for almost 15 years ago, and I'm now a teacher for 2 days a week. That's on my school. I work at a special education needs school. We have a makers lab, and we do lots of coding, but also doing fun things, working with the green screen, making stop animation, and more things. At this moment, I'm busy with a very big project that we are decorating Christmas tree, for instance, in Amsterdam, in Arnhem, in Rotterdam, with 2,000 lights in there, and 100 children, they will coat the Christmas lights on the big marketplace. Just if there are any people from Holland here, and you have some connections with government, your local government, and you want to do something, coding the Christmas tree with 100 children, please come to me, because we have a nice project doing that. My last book was published 2 years ago. I wrote it with 40 people, and it got 40 different kind of tools how you can start with coding in schools. And of course, I'm a mother, and we have 4 children. They are all studying. 2 of them are in Delft University, and they are really busy with one of them. Two of them is starting to be an engineer. So, and I like to do fun things here. I made a Rubik's Cube with the Lego Mindstorms, and it solves itself. It just took me quite a lot of time to fix it, but when it worked, I was so proud, because it's almost always very funny to do. Some has history. Who knows Samuel Papert? Yes, very good. He died last year, sadly, but he was busy in 1960 already with coding with children. And then he said, if you can engage children, if you really know what you're going to make with them, just don't start, you have to learn coding, but first start, what do you want to make? And he is very important for all the coding activities who are now at this moment everywhere in the world. I think he was one of the starters of it. And 2 weeks ago, I was in Bordeaux. There was the big Scratch conference. And one of the colleagues of Samuel Papert, she is called Cynthia Solomon, she gave a speech and she showed me some videos, some movies, what they made, and they are from 1965. And there you can see the children were coding, and they used the turtle. Maybe somebody know the turtle robots where you can code? Yes, in the back, very good. It's a very old movie.
A computer-controlled turtle is made to draw and
you can see
by
the turtle,
so simple,
and they were coding it.
All children invent them in the first days of the course. Thus the child acquires a taste for math power that grows and grows as his projects become more original, more complex, and more varied.
So this is really old, and Cynthia Solomon, she was one of the colleagues of Samuel Papert. She showed us more and more movies, what they made when they were busy doing research with children, what they learned from coding. And the funny thing is that this is the blue bot. Who knows the blue bot? Yes. This is really a starter, usually on schools, to start coding with children. And it looks very much like the turtle. You have even now a newer version, and it can fit a pen. So he can do really the same thing as the turtle from Samo Papert. And you can code it with a kind of a Scratch environment. So a little more history, that this is Jean Piaget. And he said, children have real understanding only of if they invented themselves. And I think that is really important. So they can make something, but only if they make it themselves and change it, then they know what is there. So if children really follow a pattern and make something, they haven't learned anything. But only if they reinvent it or change it, then they have really learned something and they will never forget. That's really important, because when they start with coding, usually they do something and then they have to change it and change it and change it. I will give some nice examples from that later. And then there was Jeanette Wing. She works at Microsoft, at the research in Microsoft, and she came up with a definition of computational thinking. And this is a very long definition, as you can see. But the most important part is that you solve a problem by using a computer. That is what it is. And of course, you can write papers about it, but that is the main part of it, that you solve a computer, that you solve a problem using a computer. And I really like Simone Geerts. Who knows Simone Geerts? She will be in Holland in November, yes, on the Bright Day. In Utrecht, you can buy some cards. I really like Simone Geerts because she's making silly robots. To make this, you really have to know what you're doing. She is really reinventing it. Because, of course, she first tried to make everything. And I really like it that she's always like crappy, you know, with sticky tapes, and it is glued together, or there is paper and carton. And I think that is the best way. When I start making things with children, they say, it doesn't look right. And then I always say, well, you have to start somewhere. You know, the drone wasn't built. It was made, and they came up with the idea, let's put a webcam under there so we can make some pictures. So that is every time a step ahead. Yeah. So, but why teach coding to children? That's always the questions what I always get, because I'm giving lectures a lot on schools already. But we teach children math, and they use it. But it doesn't mean that they start working with math when they finish school. That's the same when you start teaching children coding. It doesn't mean that they have to find a job in there. It's just a way of thinking. That is important. And coding can be really the locomotive to do new things in school. That is really important. You can use it to get money or to get people doing it. And coding is only a part of computational thinking, because computational thinking is much bigger than only coding. Yeah. In many countries, coding is part of the curriculum at this moment. I know that the UK is coding as part of the curriculum. I know Greece is one. Estonia is coding part of the curriculum. In France, lots of coding is being done. Also in Finland, in Holland too. But in Holland, it is not part of the curriculum, because in Holland, you always have that there is a curriculum, but school is not mandatory to do it. They can choose themselves. So schools who are ahead, they can do coding, and you can see that parents have a very important role in there. Parents can say, we want a school to do coding, or we go to a school where is some coding or computational thinking, or where is a makers lab, because you see that schools are setting up makers lab as at least here in Holland. So, but then you have to know why am I doing that as a school? Not because the parents say it, or because there is suddenly some money, or you get something, or you think there is this teacher who think it's very important. No, as a team, you must know, why am I doing this in my school? Because else it will be only for 1 year or 2 years, and you don't want it. So there can be different reasons why you can start with coding in your school. One of the reasons can be it is only for for gifted children. People ask me a lot to come to schools and do a special project with gifted children. That can be a part of it. One part can be because there will be jobs. If you don't start coding, teaching coding or computational thinking with children, they need it for jobs. We don't know that. We cannot look in the future for 15 years if there are really jobs for the children if we start teaching them now when they are 8 or 10 years old. So you don't know that. Also, you can do it because I want to set up a makerspace in my school. That is important. I think that is much more important than starting with coding. And another thing is because it solves with creative thinking. We don't know that. Because they always say when you start with coding, children learn how creative thinking is working. But we don't know that because there has been research, but there has not been so much research that they can say because the children had coding or computational thinking, they know now how creative thinking is working. Coding will not be the only way how to learn that. I know that is working, but it is not scientifically proved. That will take much more time. So if you don't want to do it as a school, you really have to know a plan and why. And you start very small, you have this big idea, you start small, and then you just start, and then you see what comes along, and you get more and more activities to be done. What is really important, you need only one person in your school who is really good with some technical things. And I'm usually talking to schools of primary schools. Then in primary schools, it's not difficult to start with coding or computational thinking because there are so many apps and so many websites and so many easy things what you can do with children. It doesn't cost a lot of money. Only you need one person who really say, I can do this. I want to do this. So when I give a lecture on schools or I give a workshop, then I always give them tips what they can do tomorrow. That is important that you take them only one step ahead so they really can know, okay, I want to do this. I can do this. I will give you some tips later. You don't need a lot of money. That's really important because Scratch, for instance, is for free. And you don't have to buy a 3D printer in primary school. You can do that, but I get a lot of phone calls from school who bought a 3D printer and now they say, Pauline, it's standing there and it's not working anymore, or we don't know what to do with it. Because making a 3D, making something for the 3D printer is quite difficult. So that is much more for higher education, I guess. 3D printer is fun to see how it's working, but also the kids, they get bored after 5 minutes looking at a 3D printer, and they say, okay, now I want, and if you print something, it's usually this small and it's taking half an hour. So I'm not a fan that primary schools are buying 3D printers, which costs a lot of money. Also, Why, you see schools, they have the Lego Mindstorm sets. Sometimes they phone me, they say, we have 10 Lego Mindstorm sets and we don't do anything with it. Can you come over and teach us? And then I came over to that school and they put all those 10 Lego Mindstorm sets in one big box. Can you imagine? All those 10 sets, and then I had to start a class, and we had this big box with 10 Lego Mindstorm sets all in there. So what I did, I turned it over in the classroom, and I said to the children, first we're going to sort it out, and we're going to make something with it. That was really strange for me to see, because the school said, yeah, we have those Lego Mindstorm sets, but we haven't really used it. No, because it was standing there, not being used. So you don't need a lot of money, because many things are really for free to do. Or there's an easy app, or you can do coding with no computer. There are lots of examples what you can do. What is really important, if you don't explain everything to children, if you start teaching them with computational thinking, if you explain everything to them, they don't think themselves. And of course, all the software is being changed very rapidly, or there is a new app what you want to use. So every time, they have to figure out themselves, and the only way where you can do that is you have to ask questions to them. Because they always say, it is not working. Why? And then you have to ask, why isn't it working? And then they say, well, the little girl is not walking through my screen. I said, have you told the computer that your little girl has to work? No, walk. No, I forgot. So that is important. So you have to ask questions. If they ask you, it is not working, you have always those children, you start explaining and they hand up their finger. Before you have even finished talking, they have a question and they say, it's not working. And then you have to ask questions. And I try to keep my hands on my back. Why is that? Why is that? What? Yes. Because in the beginning, I always did it for them on the computer. I bent over and did it for them. And then 3 minutes later, it was the same question. So I always try to keep my hands on my back and ask them questions. Have you looked here? Look there? And then you really see that they start looking at the screen and figured it out themselves. You haven't told the children, didn't have any lessons in Minecraft, because they look it up. And you can do the same with other things. That's really important. So keep your hands on your back. And make an atmosphere that they can make a mistake. That is important too. Because if you make a mistake, that is the first attempt in learning. The next time you do better, the next time you do better. That is really important. Sometimes they are afraid to make a mistake, but they have to know that it's okay to make a mistake, because then you learn. Yeah. If you start doing things in your classroom with children, or you will do it with your own kids, make something what is really not very complicated. And make it so that children who are not so bright, they can understand it too, that you can go lower and get it easier, so they will understand it too. Choose something that is also wide enough. So if, for instance, you use Scratch, if there are children and they want to do music, it is possible, or they want to make an animation, it is possible too. Don't make it strict. I want you to make this game or this animation. No, let them be freely to do what they want, because then they really want to know it and they're really going to learn it. And that is important. Yeah. Make it high enough so they go up to the ceiling, so they really know what to do with that, with the program, and say, and they see how inventive Scratch is or something else is. So that is important. So how can you do that? That is really important. I will give you now 10 tips, what I did the last year in my schools. Maybe you know this. Yeah, this is the Jambot. That is, you can teach coding to children with no computer at all.
Pick up knife with right hand. By using the knife.
He is making a sandwich, and the children have to really tell him how he's making a sandwich.
Scoop butter. Spread it on bread.
Up bread slice.
Right hand, pick up bread slice.
Lower down.
Lower down, drop. Lower down. You want a robot to lower himself down and drop on floor?
Lower down bread. Left hand, put bread slice down in plate.
Left hand, put bread slice down on plate.
Right hand, remove
butter lid. Right hand, remove butter lid.
Scoop jam out of the jam jar with right hand.
Scoop jam out of the jam jar with right hand.
Take out bread with right hand.
Take out bread with right hand.
Put bread on plate.
Bread on plate. You said on the floor.
With your right hand, open. With your right hand, open the jam lid.
Right hand, open twist jam lid.
Twist it.
Right hand, twist jam lid. Error, error. Cannot compute. Left hand in the butter. Cut up a slice of bread. Oh dear. Cut up a slice of bread. Cut up a slice of bread. Cutting up a slice of bread. Cutting up. Put down butter lid, right hand.
Bread butter on bread slice with knife.
Bread butter on bread slice with knife. Cannot compute, have not picked up knife yet. Oh no, emergency overload! Trying to spread butter with knife when I haven't got one.
Pick up bread and put it on plate.
Right hand, pick up bread and put it on plate. Right hand, pick up knife. Right hand, knife blade, get butter and spread. Right hand, get butter.
Knife handle with right hand.
Hold knife handle with right hand.
Oh no, it's done.
Turn the lid on the jam with your right hand.
Turn the lid on your right hand.
Well, this is a nice example. If you follow Phil Beggar on Twitter, he is really one of my examples, what he is doing in classes. I went to see him 2 years ago, and I saw him in Bordeaux 2 weeks ago. He is really very good. And this is part of Unplugged CS. On Unplugged CS, you see lots of activities, what you can do with children with no computer, and starting with an algorithm, thinking in code, in coding kind of way. So this is one example. We're counting down to the one. This is Scratch. Who knows, who sees a different here? Yes. Yes, it's a new version. Yes. This is the new version. It's on GitHub already. The new version of Scratch will be available next year, next summer. Now you can try it already. It looks kind of the same. Yes. No. And you know what the good part is? You can attach very different kind of things. It looks much more like Snap. I used an embroidery machine to make something in Scratch and attach the embroidery machine to it. So this is really a very good example. We tested it 2 weeks ago in Bordeaux on the Scratch conference. So no Flash anymore. No. So you can try it. You can look it up on GitHub. So Scratch, very easy. Up till around 10 years, it's nice to do Scratch, maybe till 12, depending on what they want. It's very creative, and they make lots of things. Here's a nice example, what you can do with no computers, and all the kids like it. Here we make a functional design of designing an app. The kids get very motivated to do that because they have to think about a name. What is my app doing? How many screens does my app have? And they start drawing it. And there is really an app that you can make the functional design and put it on a screen so they really can see it. And they have to make lots of drawings, and they start thinking about, shall I attach Facebook to it? Or can I use it? Or can I use it? So they can use lots of APIs there too, to use in their app. It's a very nice way to start talking with children about making an app. They are not interested in making it, they're designing it. So that is really the process before it. And all the teachers like that too, because this is what they can do. And they have to present all the 21, in Holland you say that all the 21 skills are in there always when you do something like this. Designing an app. Here is one thing. This is making a game out of something, and this is an educational game. The game has been made in Game Maker, and it is about a game about, it's called From Mond tot Kont, and this is the mond, and this is your kont in Dutch, yeah. And it's how you say that? Oh, the digester, thank you. So this is kind of an advanced game. It's made by an 18-year-old girl, but you can think about much more things what they can do. You can make a game with Game Studio, which is very easy with children, or also in Scratch. Then it gets more and more attention what you can do. Yeah. Here, we make stop animations. Very easy to make with an app. And even those children, they are only 5 years old, they make something with clay, and you teach them how it is working. And the next step is that you can teach them, give them an assignment, make a stop animation about the Romans, or make a stop animation about something in math or something else. But first you have to teach them something, how it is working, because they don't have that and they don't know it. And with an app, it's very easy to do it. You even can use on your phone an app how to do it. So you don't use iPads, or you don't have to use iPads or anything else. It's the same. We have a green screen in school. And I always teach the children how to use the green screen. And my history teacher, then he gives an example that they have to find an image from ancient time, and they have to stand in the image with something on from this century. That's always a very nice assignment. So my history teacher always comes to me, have you explained them how the green screen is working already? Because I want to do this assignment. And then that's a nice combination that I teach him something, and my history teacher, he can combine it. So this is a stop animation. Here I have a small video from the Makey Makey. Who knows the Makey Makey? What have you made with it? A piano, very good. And I saw some fingers there. What have you made with it? Somebody else? Nothing. Do something with it, because it's really fun. Hey, what I did, this movie is from 2 years ago. I had the Makey Makey, and I figured it out a little bit myself, and then I went to my class on a Friday morning just before holiday. I said, here, I have a Makey Makey. You can make lots of things from it. And we looked at a small video on the website, and we watched it together. And then I said, now I go out for coffee, and I come back in 50 minutes, and you have to figure it out what you're going to do with it. They were busy the whole day. I gave them an iPad, and I said, okay, whatever you want to do, you have to make it in a small movie. And here is the movie. I'm a teacher at a special education need, so they don't like to be on YouTube. So you don't see any heads of it, but we know what kind of children there were, or students there were. Here it comes. That's their movie, yeah? There you can see the Makey Makey. And they made the piano stairs. Make way in the atmosphere, cause the rocketeer is here, and it's clear to me.
Everybody on the count of three, come on and jump with me. Gravity's got a hold on me.
Hello. Listen up.
That was their mentor. Yeah. But first they had like two stairs, and they figured it out that all the children, they were wearing gympies. So that didn't work with aluminium foil, so they had to make two layers of aluminium foil with white paper in between and make holes in there. Then it would attach, and then it would have the sound of the sounds. So the only two stairs, what they had finished around 10 in the morning, and then there was this first break, so the children from the school, they start using it. And with the lunch break, they had all the stairs, and they made arrangements with my music teacher, who they had after me, that they could continue with the lesson. And also, they made arrangements with the sports teacher, because they thought they were really sporty on the stairs doing that. So they were busy with it the whole day. But still, if I see the kids now, they always smile because we always remember that one morning when we did it. And like a half a year later, they did kind of the same on a party on school. If you looked at the movie on Makey Makey, you can see they had this water and this dance mat. They made it too on school. And they even attached lights to that. So that is fun to do. And something like the Makey Makey is really good to use. Here, what I did, we make holograms with the children, very easy with plastic, and then they can put their own image in there. It's a very simple way in PowerPoint how you do that. Even you make a movie, and then they see themselves therein. That's really very nice to do with the children, because then you can start talking about the hologram is not something what will happen in 10 years' time. No, you can make it yourself now. It is here. You can use it. And if you start thinking about making an app or making a website, you can easily implement with an hologram or something else in there. This is really nice. It's called Sonic Pi. Who knows Sonic Pi? Yes, he knows it. Yes. Can you tell me what it is? You make music. Yes. If there is some time and we can figure it out, I have it here on my computer, I can show you. Because Sonic Pi is really nice, because they really have to start coding, really making examples and making variables and functions. And the kids really like it, especially the one from 12, 14 years old. And if you can see Sam Aaron doing that really like a DJ, it's amazing. Sonic Pi. And here we are coding with cards. You can see the cards on the button. But we have a lot of fun, and that is important. The kids have a lot of fun. I don't really know what they have done, but they were very happy. And when the kids are really happy, also in your class, then they learn a lot. That is important, because they never forget. And the last one, this is the microbit. I have it here on me. Yeah. The microbit, if you start talking about computational thinking, the microbit has it all. It's not only coding on this small thing, what I have here, and I will give workshops tomorrow morning and on Monday morning with the microbit with children, but also you can attach a servo motor to here, LED lights to it, and we're making lots and lots of nice projects for the microbit. My new book will be released in January from the microbit with 101 projects, what you can really make with the microbit. Just not only coding, but really making things with the microbit. We make like a robotic arm, a robotic finger which goes up and down, and the microbit got it all. And I can see here, I have here a small video from a lesson I did last month with the microbit. Those are all 10 years old. And they had 1.5 hour with the microbit, and they put a small game on there. And here they are all playing the game. And the person who won the game, he would win a microbit. And you can see how active they are. He won because he hacked the code. So, this is the end of my speech. I hope you have questions or other things. Please. I'm sorry, quicker than...
So, if you have any questions, please come to the microphones in the top, front and the back.
There is one coming.
I'm very impressed about this, but how do you teach the teachers about this?
That's a very good question, yeah. I always teach the teachers, and I always give them one step. Like when I show them the jam robots, they always say, I can do that. So this is the first step. and then they get more interested. So I never show them really what's ahead like there, what you can do, which is really difficult. No, I always show them one small step, and then they know I can do that. And then they want more and more and more. So, but that is the difficult part. But on primary school, it is, I always say, it is not difficult to teach coding because it's so easy. But on higher education, it is more and more difficult because then the teachers, they have to know something about coding. So I'm happy that Sonic Pi is there, that a Microbit is there, because that's very easy also to teach to teachers. Thank you for that question. Yeah. More. Oh, then I show you Sonic Pi. I promise, that's why, yeah? Oh, more, yes.
You were talking about teaching to children, but is there any difference between teaching to children and teaching to adults?
Yes. Oh, there's so much difference, yeah. Because if I teach to children, I usually show them a small video from 2 minutes, and then they go ahead. And if I teach to teachers, it will have to take me lots of explanation before they even start touching the Microbit or touching things or touching the computer and really starting off. If sometimes I have like mixed classes with teachers and with students, there's a huge difference then. Because the students, they are finished in half an hour, and the teachers are still struggling with it, what they have to do. Yes, but that's a big difference. Yeah.
In case of the GEM robot, what explanations do you give you beforehand? How do you describe the tasks?
Yes.
With the children, I mean.
With a GEM robot, if you look for GEM robot, and if you look for the GEM robot on YouTube, there is this this lesson is there completely, and also the lesson what you can print out and the text what the children have to use, because that is a code too, like get up knife, get butter, you know, get a bread. Those are coding words too, what they really have to do. Yes.
Oh, I have a 4 years old child.
How old?
4 years old.
4 years old.
Yes,
yeah.
And I want to teach him how to code. So yes. What do you recommend? I mean, like what to start with?
There is Scratch Junior for that. So Scratch Junior, it's an app. So that is very easy. Or you can use Codable, that is online what you can do. Or you can start using the BBot or the BlueBot, that's what you can do. But also, you know, that's very important just to start making things, yeah? That's more important, I guess. More questions? Yes.
Hi, so my question is, if you got the kids really excited,
yes,
and then they first have to learn English after, if they want to do more stuff,
yes,
if they want to progress, how do you deal with that? Is there a curriculum that you have, sort of a shadow curriculum that they can themselves follow? Because the teacher, like you explained,
yes,
has a hard time enough keeping up. So yeah. How do you keep them in front of the teacher rather than behind?
Well, it is as a teacher, you cannot be in front of your students, because they will know it much quicker than you do. So I always say, we will figure it out ourselves, or we do it together. If they have a question and you cannot solve it, you start looking with them on YouTube, on the internet, how to figure it out. Is that an answer? No. Sorry.
So imagine you successfully completed the lesson.
Yes.
Now they want to go home.
Yes.
And they have done all the things that you showed. They made a nice animation. And then they want to move
forward. Yes.
But the class is done. It's weekend.
Okay.
Where should they go?
Okay. There are many websites where you can do that. For Holland, I made codekinderen.nl, which got many different kind of tools and lessons, what they can do themselves at home. And I'm sure that is in England too. If you can see on code.org, there are a lot of different kind of activities. And then in Holland, English is usually not such a not so important, because even younger kids, they don't mind so much that it is in English. So that is it here. Yeah. But if the children really want, they find their way. And there is curriculum, what you can see, first you can do this and then you can do that. Because in the UK, there is a curriculum, exactly what you have to do when and how and so. But I like more that children are much wider. And if they start off at scratch is really huge. So they can do many, many things. And then they can do after that, they can use Snap and do different things, or go ahead with an Arduino or something like that. So that is working out, I hope. Yes? Not really. Okay. More questions? Okay. Oh, hope this will work. Yes. Yeah. Oh. I cannot touch it now. No. No. Okay. Maybe we can hear it. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. But this is Sonic Pi, and if I press RAM, it will really comes up with a nice beat. And you can change the beat here by changing the sleep or use another sample. And it's really all you can see it. It's a live loop. So he's changing it right away. So they very quickly know what it is. And it is not really boring what you sometimes hear or what the music is on the micro bit. Here it is. That's kind of boring. But this is really very cool and very nice. So, yes. More questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. There will be two workshops with kids.
Yes.
With the
microbit. Tomorrow morning at 10 in the Belgium Embassy. It's a basic workshop for children. And on Monday morning, we will do an advanced. So the basic workshop is only like coding it a little bit, get the name on there, get the LED light on there. And the next day, we're really going to do something. I will take servo motors with me and other things so we can make something.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Big round of applause.